going to discuss today the minhag to say l'David during Chodesh Elul. I've been asked the following shailas this week from a variety of people. One person asked me that they are going to be davening, they normally daven Nusach Sfar, but they're davening Nusach Ashkenaz Minyan. Should they say l'David at Mariv with the Nusach Ashkenaz Minyan, or should they continue their own minhag of saying Nusach Sfar? What if they davened at a Nusach Sfar Minyan for Mincha, and they're davening at a Nusach Ashkenaz Minyan for Mariv? Can they say l'David at all three tefillos? What if you did the reverse? Can you not say l'David by Mincha or Mariv, and only say it by Shachris? These are the variety of shailas that I got. So I think it's important to understand where this whole minhag comes from, and then I think it will provide a little bit of context to answering these questions. Mishmura quotes a minhag. Mishmura says that there is a minhag that we say l'David throughout Chodesh Elul after Shachris, and after, I think he says, after Mariv also. The in Maisa Rav, the Vilna Gaon, Hanhagos, says that the Grah didn't say it. He held that you don't say l'David. And you find that there are several groups of Hasidim that were dafka makbid not to say l'David, which is a little strange, hakpada, because, I mean, even if you don't think it has a major source, it's a kapitul tilm. You could say, people say kapitul tilm after davening all the time. But there were several Hasidim, the Abdu Hasidim, the Sandu Hasidim, the Rupshitzer, that all didn't say. So this is one of those unique situations where a lot of the groups of Hasidim and the Gra were on the same page, where they dafka didn't say l'David. So I want to get into a little bit why not to say it, and then try to figure out why yes to say it. What is the source? Where does it come from? It's not mentioned in the Gemara anywhere. It's not mentioned in the Rishonim anywhere that there's a minhag to say l'David. So where in the world does this minhag come from? The earliest source, Dr. Schneur Lyman, has a lecture on Yud Torah where he discusses the earliest source, and he has the, as the foremost Jewish historian in the world today, probably, he has the ability to do research on these topics better than most. And he says the earliest source he found is a Sefer Shem Tov Katan, published in 1706, where so the first source is 18th century, the very first source, where it says Kol Omer Mizmor Zeh Merosh Chodesh El Ad Acher Simchas Torah Afilu Gozrel of Gzei Rav. Anyone says this Mizmor starting with Chodesh El all the way through Simchas Torah, even if there are terrible Gzeres against him up in Shemayim, he's going to come out Zakai. Everything is going to be okay for him. It's a haftacha, that it's a guarantee. Everything will turn out okay. That Sefer was not the most popular Sefer in the world. It was probably not seen by many other Gedolim and Rabbanim. Another Sefer was published in 1709 called Sefer Zechira, which says the same exact thing, and says you're supposed to say morning and night, it's a guarantee for good things. Also, fairly rare Sefer. And then a bit later on, in 1739, a Sefer Chemdas Yamim was published. Now, the Sefer Chemdas Yamim includes a poem that was written by Nasan HaBavli, Nasan HaNavi. Who was Nasan HaBavli in the 18th? Who was the Nasan HaNavi in the 18th century? Where would you ever have a Navi in the 17th, 18th century? So Nasan was the Nathan of the prophet, was the false prophet for Shabtai Tzvi. He was the front man for the Shabtai Tzvi movement. So since the Sefer Chemdas Yamim was the earliest known source to many people for the Minhag to say l'David, and that very same Sefer had a poem written by clear Shabtai Tzvi followers, so it could be that that was the reason that many Hasidim rejected the minhag, because the earliest source they knew of that said to say l'David was a Sefer that included something from Shabtai Tzvi followers. But we know that there are other sources also. We just said in 1706, 1709, that we do find published a little bit earlier. But still, 18th century is a little bit late for a minhag and tefillah to come in and become popular. Why? Why did this minhag catch on? So the Mata Ephraim writes, and it's based on the Medrash of Megillas Esther. The Medrash says, Uri Zerashana Yishizu Yom HaKippurim, then Kitz Beneni Besuko is a remez l'sukkis. So it's all about it. There's a remez within the paragraph to this time of year. So that's why we dafka say it throughout this time of year. Teretz Mima in Makar Baruch, his four volume autobiography, says that there's another medrash that says Uri Zu Pesach, Yishi Yizu Pesach. So why don't we say Pesach also? I mean, there are plenty of interpretations of what in the world that paragraph of Dillam is referring to. They're not all about the Yom Narayim. So why would we dafka grab onto the one interpretation in the Medrash that says about Yom Narayim, and then dafka say it during that time of year? So the Torah Tzvi was not so satisfied with that standard explanation given by the Mata Ephraim. The Hafla gives a different explanation. It happens to be that Hafla's explanation is the same one that appears in Shem Tov Katan, in the very first source to say L'David in 1706, The Afla's explanation is that if you look at the paragraph carefully and you count up the times that the name, the Shem Hashem, comes up, it comes up 13 times. And that's supposed to be reminiscent of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is obviously front and center this time of year, especially during Slichos. The 13 Midos HaRachamim brings about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim, is Ma'orah the Rachamei Shemayim. It's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that whenever we're in trouble, Yasu Lefanai Kesei Derazeh, you do exactly like this, you say these Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, and I can't say no to the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So this reminds us of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we say the David, because it has the 13 various Shemos Hashem. Shai Shechter said that he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Asher Weiss, a different explanation that I thought was fascinating. I thought it was a phenomenal explanation. Rav Asher Weiss quotes, even though it may not be historically the most accurate explanation, but it's a beautiful explanation. Rav Asher Weiss quotes a Gemara in Maseches Tainus Daf Chesam Beis. The Gemara tells us that the Yemei Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni have a kafna umusna. During the times of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, the community was suffering from two major issues. Number one, there was major famine, and number two, there was a plague that was killing people left and right. So Amri Hechi Navid, they said, well, what should we daven for? Nibai Rachmi Atarte? Should we daven to save us from both the famine and the plague? Lo Efshar, you can't daven for two things. We gotta pick one. So he said, Alibai Rachmi Amusna, the Kafim Nisbal, maybe we should just daven for the plague to go away, and we'll suffer without eating lunch for a few days. We'll try to get through the famine. So the Gemara says, no, no! Amalu Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmein, Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmein says, I have a much better idea. Nibai Rachmi Akafna, daven for the famine. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, if we daven for the famine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevatel the gzera of famine, he's going to have to feed us. Right? You don't feed dead people, you only feed live people. So Mela, the other gzera of the plague, which is killing people, is going to go away. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to feed us, he's going to have to feed live people, so we're going to have to be alive, we're not going to be dead. And that way, we'll only have to daven for one thing, but we'll solve both problems. Very strange. So the Gemara says, wait a second, who says you're not allowed to daven for multiple things? Gemara quotes Pasuk in Ezra, V'natsumo nevakshim elokeinu al zos, that we fasted and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us with this, implication being we could have asked for other things, but we were only able to ask for one. So apparently there's some yesod that you're only supposed to daven for one thing at a time. Now, comes Yom Narayim. We realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding our parnasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding our health, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding whether there are going to be simchas or smachos in our family this year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding all of these things. Which one are you going to daven for? How are you going to decide what to daven for? Impossible! So says Rav Asher Weiss, so we take the cue from the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? You try to find one nekuda that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that, it will solve all the rest also. So what are we daven for? We daven, I want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Elamai, what's the best way to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is by not having to be distracted by health issues, not having to be distracted by parnasa issues, where I can focus and dedicate myself to Avodas Hashem. That's exactly why some of the Rishonim explained the Torah never tells us about Olam Haba. The Torah tells us if you do the mitzvos, so then it will rain and you'll have food and you'll... Well, what about Olam Haba? So somebody showed, the Rambam explains that the reason the Torah tells us all those things, that's not the reward. That's what makes it easier to get to the reward. The reward is the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It makes it a lot easier to get that relationship when you're not distracted by lack of food, when you're not distracted by various problems, by other physical problems. So that's what we daven for. We daven Shifti Beveis Hashem, and that encapsulates and that covers all of the other issues. So maybe that's a nice explanation of why we say the dove. Now, at the end of the day, it's a minhag that came about in the 18th century, was not accepted by the Gra, was not accepted by several groups of Hasidim. Does it matter if you say that mincha or mariv? Or I don't think it matters that much. But we do know that the basic construct of what you do when you're davening in a minyan that doesn't do your minhag is that anything that's evident, you follow the minhag of the tzibur that you're davening. So if you daven mincha at a nusach svard minyan and mariv at a nusach ashkenaz minyan, so you say the daven twice. You should follow along. Those is good to do. You have to go along with whatever their minhag is. And even in the reverse, so you don't end up saying the daven. You want to say the daven kapitel tilum later on gesuntayit. But you should always conform. That's a much more important issue, to always conform with the minhag of the place that you happen to be davening. Just the last couple of minutes, I'll just tell you that. Dr. Lyman in his shiur quoted in his lecture on this topic quoted from Sefer Nezer HaKodesh that the Hasidim have a Kabbalah, Baal Shem Tov used to say over, that in the time of Rav Elyo Baal Shem, Rav Elyo Baal Shem was a great-grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi. I think he's the one that the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Tshuva about whether you can be mitzari for Golem to a minion. Chacham Tzvi says, and don't say that there's no such thing as a Golem, because Mayel Tzeidim made a Golem. So we don't know if the Maral had made a Golem, but we know that the Chacham Tzvi's great-grandfather, he says, he made a Golem once. So that was the Rav Elyo Baal Shem. So Rav Elyo Baal Shem was once offered by the Moshel in Chelem, in Poland, who didn't have any children. The government official didn't have any children. And he told the Jews, you have to daven for me to have a child. And if you don't, if I don't have a child, within 12 months, then I'm expelling all the Jews. So Rav Elyo Baal Shem said, okay, I guarantee I'll daven. So he first tried the Hasidic Kabbalah. He first tried the Tzad HaKadusha. He davened Takarosh Baruch Hu, and he tried from the Kadusha. That didn't work out. He was rejected. So then he approached the Tzad HaTumah. He started going to the Shadim, and he was also rejected. And then he approached the Satan himself. And the Satan said, sure, no problem, we'll get the guy a child, as long as you're going to be wiped out from Ol Mazeh and Ol Mabah. Everything's going to be gone from you. Rabbi Elyo Baal Shem is gone. So since he was most in effort for Klal Yisrael, the Hasidish Maisa is, that up in Shemayim, the good forces up in Shemayim came to his defense and said, look, he was willing to give up this whole place in Ol Mazeh and Ol Mabah, just so that the Jewish people would be saved. So they said, instead of destroying him, they would destroy two takanos that he instituted. One of them was to say L'David, and the other is to say Kigavna. So Rav Elimelech of Luzhansk, the Talmud of the Magen of Meserich, never said Kigavna, because he followed that bittle of the Baal Shem's takana. And the Apta Rav didn't say L'David. Rav Mishra Heschel, the Abdur Rav, didn't say so. Between the two of them, they were mevatel the two takanas. If you're into Hasidus, you know, that makes sense to you. Otherwise, you know, you have a lot of kashas. Okay.